From the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom, this is Glenn Fulcher with another issue of Language Testing Bites. In issue 32.4, we publish a review of Rita Green's new book on statistics for language testers, which has been written for us by Ardeshir Gurampaye. Over the last decade, we've seen the appearance of a number of texts on statistics, specifically for language testing. And this reminds us that our discipline is built upon two pillars. The first, of course, is applied linguistics and language study. And the second is educational assessment. And it's this second pillar that brings with it the psychometrics that we need to use in the quantitative side of our research. Back in 2000, Fred Davidson published a paper entitled The Language Tester's Statistical Toolbox. And we thought that the book review in this month's issue provided us with an excellent opportunity to talk to Fred about his views on statistics 14 years after the publication of his prophetic paper. And we're also joined in this issue of the podcast by Kerry Lynn, who has recently completed a PhD in language testing, to give us some insights into how statistics is taught as part of our expanding notion of assessment literacy. Welcome to Language Testing Bites to talk about statistics in language testing.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Thank you very much. It's also nice to be here.
In the introduction, I mentioned Fred's paper on statistics published back in 2000. That was a special issue of the journal System, which I happened to edit, where part of the brief was to take a look at what we did at the turn of the century and how those things might develop into the future. Now, in that paper, you compared language testers to carpenters, both having a set of familiar tools to help with the design and construction of what they're going to build. Have the books that have appeared since you wrote that paper, and Green's book in particular, introduced anything new to the toolkit? Or are we very much relying upon the familiar and comfortable, as you called it back in 2000?
Well, I think that at this point in history, some 14 years later, many of the familiar and comfortable statistical tools from the year 2000 are still very much alive. Certainly, all of the normal descriptive statistics, classical test theory, item response theory, and so forth. I think we've continued to see a growth in the use of facets for analysis of rater data, but I don't really see anything that new in the statistical toolkit in recent years. Do you think there is, Kerry, or?
I agree with you, Fred. I don't see that many new tools in the field of language testing. But I do see an increased application for structural equation modeling in the research.
I'd like to move into an area that has seen considerable controversy over the years. In language testing, we all use RASH for a variety of purposes. And the FACETS program for multifaceted RASH has become endemic in language testing for modelling the relationships between test takers, tasks and raters. It's fair to say, I think, that we've learned a great deal about rater behaviour from the use of these tools. But more recently, some very strong claims have been made for the RASH model, and I'm thinking in particular of the Bond and Fox text. Let me read a quotation from page 266 of their 2007 book. They write, "From the fundamental measurement perspective, the requirements of the measurement model are paramount. The idiosyncrasies of the empirical data are of secondary importance. The measurement ideal encapsulated in the RASH model has primacy. The researcher's task is to work towards a better fit of the data to the model's requirements until the match is sufficient for practical measurement purposes in that field." Language people seem to have a problem with kind of massaging the idiosyncratic data to fit the model. Is this where language folk really have a problem with hard-nosed psychometrics?
The way I see FACET program is a very popular program in language testing, particularly for performance assessment. But I think in the field of educational measurement, some people have pointed out some of the limitations for applications in FACET program. For example, FACET does not take into consideration the dependence among ratings given a rater. So in a typical performance assessment context, you have this hierarchical structure where the ratings are nested within raters. And unfortunately, FACET programs or ROSH measurement ignore this dependency among the ratings. And as a result, this result in under estimation of the standard error, and also in overinflation of test information given an examinee's ability. And so I think some of the researchers in educational measurement, particularly Junker and Pat, has proposed an alternative, for example, the hierarchical rater model, which does take into the dependency among ratings. And so I think one of the next steps for language tester, we could really look into alternative levels, models that really take into consideration the hierarchy structures and performance-based assessment. You have anything to add for this, Fred?
No, but you told me beforehand that you have a comment on that quote, the quotation by Bond and Fox. What do you want to say about that quotation?
Oh, I think the quotation here is not so much about massaging. The way I interpret it is not so much about massaging the data to fit the model. I think for me, when I read it, it's more about the theoretical assumptions of the model. I interpret this quote as if we want to use a measurement model, we really need to look into first, are the assumptions of the model satisfied? If it's not, we probably won't want to use it because it might lead to invalid interpretation of the result.
I think, Kerry, I really found your reply to be very interesting. And I'd like to say that your reply is a special case or an example of the continued need for dialogue between language testers and the larger field of educational psychological measurement. I think sometimes that communication pipeline kind of gets forgotten.
That takes me back to Fred's 2000 paper again. In the abstract, he wrote, and I quote here, "Regardless of the complexity of the analysis, it is unwise for statistics to drive language test development. Statistical determinism is a dangerous epistemological force." Can you expand a little on what you mean by statistical determinism? And do you still believe this to be the case?
First, let me define statistical determinism. Statistical determinism is when the nature of reality in the world is determined or defined or described by devices developed on statistical means. The classical and most famous example of this is traditional normative psychometrics, going back to the 1890s, the work of Galton, and then Binet and intelligence testing as the century turned, and most notably in the massive U.S. Army testing for World War I. Incidentally, World War I starts its 100th anniversary this year. It's hard to believe. In normative psychometric testing, items and tasks enter, leave, and are edited in a test based on their ability to contribute to certain overall desirable statistical characteristics. Originally, the ability to craft and maintain a bell curve. Statistical determinism is when the test is built on principles like that, and then we believe that something like intelligence is bell-shaped in the real world, when in fact it may not be. Now, this is all a very old critique. I'm not the first to make it, and in fact, it's a critique that has been around for a number of years. I don't think that particular form of statistical determinism still plagues language testing or educational measurement in general. Maybe you want to comment on that, Kerry. I think our understanding of normative psychometrics in the year 2014 is far more sophisticated than in like 1935. We are able to build vast, complex, interlocking mathematical models of variance and covariance, but we still face the same basic dilemma. Why should the way that people vary and covary be a model of the individual human mind? Would you care to comment, Carrie?
Yes, I will speak from a test development process. Some of, for example, some like Fred was saying, some of the tasks or items would not survive just because of some statistical properties. This may be the case in the past, but I do see now, for example, the new arrival techniques, for example, DIF, differential item functioning, is used as a screening tool to first identify potential items that probably does not fit the statistical property, the desired property. But then I see now that people, in addition to these DIF analysis, people do look into the content of these flag items and decide whether this particular item should be discarded or not. So I do see a collaboration between statistical techniques and also content experts' judgment. And I think that's probably a more appropriate way to deal with items.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think that the real nature of statistical determinism is the weight or strength that it carries. But particularly in the modern standards-driven era, when we need to have fine-grained alignment of tests to external standards or guidelines, content plays an increasing role. I agree with that. Nevertheless, I still worry about statistical determinism. And at the end of the day, I ask test developers, what really seals the vote? What's the thing that really puts the item into the test or not? If it's a p-value or an IRT fit statistic, you know, just ask yourself how comfortable you are about that.
Right. So let's turn to the role of statistics in the education of language testers. Tell me about your experience of teaching statistics and learning about statistics. What do you think are the most beneficial aspects of studying statistics as a language tester?
So Carey has just finished his PhD here at the university. And during his time here, he has been a teaching assistant for several statistics courses. And I think more to the heart of this question, he has really been an individual advisor, an individual counselor to postgraduate research students who need help with some procedure. So tell us about that, Carey.
I'll talk about first from my experience as a teaching assistant in the College of Education here. So most of my students are from College of Ed and from different disciplines. And they come to the statistics courses to learn statistical techniques that could answer their substantive inquiries. And I think from my experience, one of the challenges is to really link the statistical concepts to their substantive inquiries and to be able to develop students' ability in doing so. And I think that's part of the challenge in teaching statistics. And also, I agree, learning statistics too. Because a lot of time you will be so caught up with the technical aspect of statistics, but without realizing how could these details be applied to research.
Carey, what have you learned teaching or advising others about statistics? As you work with individual students, what does that teach you about statistics?
Very good question. I think I learned so much from working with different students because I do have knowledge in statistics, but a lot of time these statistical techniques, I don't use it in my own research. Mm-hmm. But then by talking to students who need help in their own research design or statistical analysis, I was able to apply my knowledge and to help them in identifying what kind of approaches are more appropriate given a research question. So given that, I learned a lot from people who I work with how to really have this connection of statistical concepts and research questions.
Plus, it forces you, as it has done for me, it forces you to go back and review. So like I know in your dissertation, you did not use factor analysis, but you might get a question about factor analysis. So you have to go back and review it and sort of remind yourself and everything and brush up.
Definitely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I could ask you both to select just one tool that you think has been of clearly more value than any other in the design or validation of language tests, what would it be? You know, what's the most tried and tested in the toolkit?
Well, this is a fascinating question, and it takes me back to my roots. I published a book in 1996 on data handling. The one tool I think is most beneficial to language testers is Microsoft Excel. I think we all need a tool that can do input, alteration, debugging, and basic programming of data. We all work with data. And I think Excel is an extremely flexible, powerful platform that does a wide variety of things. There's a large internet community that's posting various tips and tricks. And there are a lot of people in language testing, like Nathan Carr, for example, who are just really, really gurus at Excel. So on a desert island, I'd say take Excel. Get an internet connection too, but take Excel. Carrie, what's your pick?
I would say structural equation modeling or SEM, because I think SEM framework, we can handle a lot of data in relation to language testing. For example, we can do regression under SEM framework. We can do conformity factor analysis and exploratory factor analysis. We can also accomplish hierarchical linear modeling analysis under SEM. So I think SEM approach is very versatile, and also, like I said before, I see a growing interest and application of SEM approach in language testing.
I don't really want to get into which of the many statistics texts on the market is the best, partly because that will also depend on the needs of the student and so on. But perhaps I could ask you to say which text you studied from and why that was your selection. I mean, obviously Rita Green's text won't be in your selection because it's only just been published, but you might wish to say if you consider using it in the future as an afterthought.
Well, I think the SAGE publication series and quantitative applications in social science will be my pick. It comes in, as far as I know, currently it has 174 volumes, and each volume is devoted to a specific quantitative approach to data analysis. And I think because we as language testers, we deal with different research questions, and different research questions require different techniques or approach that's best suited to answer these questions. So I don't think there's a single test that we could all go to, but I think given the research focus, I would go to this series and pick up the topic that's specifically suited for the research question that I'm interested in. Fred?
Well, my personal favorite classic in statistics is also a book on educational behavioral research, although it covers an awful lot of statistics. And that's Kerlinger's book, Fred Kerlinger, Foundations of Behavioral Research, which is now in a fourth edition as of the year 2000. It's starting to get old, but it's still a classic. Co-authored in 2000 by his student Howard Lee through an arrangement with Kerlinger's estate. This book, for me, has withstood the test of time. It's my go-to book to brush up on something for myself. Its chapter on factor analysis is a masterpiece, and the thing that makes this book so great is how clearly it's written. So Kerlinger, Foundations of Behavioral Research.
Well, thanks for coming on Language Testing Bites to discuss statistics. I remember the excitement around the collection of papers in that special issue of System back in 2000. Looking into the future is always a tough call, and it's been excellent to look back into the future with that paper as a baseline. The use of statistics in our field is often taken for granted, and from time to time it really does need to be problematized and everyone stirred up to consider some of the fundamental assumptions that underlie our practices.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity to be a part of this interview.
Me too. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to this issue of Language Testing Bites. Language Testing Bites is a production of the journal Language Testing from Sage Publications. You can subscribe to Language Testing Bites through iTunes, or you can download future issues from ltj.sagepub.com or from languagetesting.info. So, until next time, we hope you enjoy the current issue of Language Testing.